Welcome to Hope Chapel. You're about to listen to Andrew Cole.
Hey, it's really close to the American holiday of Thanksgiving, so that's pretty cool. So all the Americans in the house, and fantastic. So welcome to Thanksgiving Sunday. It's great to have you. Thank you, Michael. You are fantastic. I'll give you 15 minutes rest before you're back up there, so that's awesome. As Ben said, we did Night of Hope in Copper Coast last night, and it was absolutely brilliant. Really, really cool. It was our first time up there. Yeah, it was great. It was it's so much to organise, and it happened so quick, but it was everyone just jumped on board, and the principal of the school was held at the school, and the principal of the school was there. Who is quite conservative, but he's a fantastic guy. And I think he was shocked. He said, you don't realise, because he knows his community more than I know their community. He says, you don't realise how many community people are actually here tonight. And he goes, I am shocked that some of these have even turned up. So it was just fantastic. And he was full of praise afterwards about the whole night and what was put on and just the talent of their guys as well. And what I loved is our guys helped bring the talent out of their guys up there, who's still a part of our family, but they just didn't realise, I don't think they realised how much talent they have sitting in their church. So that was exposed, yes, the last night. And so they're having I don't know what they'll be doing this morning, but they'll probably be falling in a heap this morning up there, but they'll be having a service which is just going to be filled with testimonies about the night and just encouraging one another. So that's great. So good on them, but it made me really enthusiastic about ours. It's going to be magnificent. So if you're holding back because you're not sure what it's going to be like to invite people, just invite them. I promise, as Ben said, it's not weird and you won't be embarrassed. It's a great, great night. Anyway, and thank you to everyone that was involved from here. I also like to say thank you to Rachel Abdi, who basically organised the whole thing. So she carried the weight of that. So thank you, Rachel. I know she's feeling relieved this morning. Just, I can breathe until the next thing that happens in the next week. So good on you. Thank you. So I want to reiterate. So today is Thanksgiving, but it's also the end of seasons for us as a theme for this year. So next week, potentially, we'll have our leaves removed from the walls, which I've really loved. I've really enjoyed preaching into seasons this year because I've learnt so much. The preparation has been brilliant for me. So I'm not sure whether you guys have enjoyed it, but I have. Just the preparation of what each season means. And this message, a bit later on, after I talk a bit about Thanksgiving, is we are seasoned. So I want to encourage you today, everybody here, that we've spent a whole year going through the different seasons in the natural, but also what they mean spiritually. So we are ready. We are seasoned as people, that you can face any season of life now and without fear or trepidation about going into the next season or when something appears in you, or you feel like you're going through a winter or a cutting back or a pruning or whatever, or a harvest time, that you are well equipped to go through it. You can have an understanding that it's not going to take you by surprise, that you can embrace every season, that you can grow in every season, no matter what it is. Even in our winter, there's still deep growth taking place. So I want to talk a little bit about that afterwards. Well, what time there is. But anyway, the real meaning of Thanksgiving, I want to reiterate some of this. I have spoken about some of this 12 months ago, but I want to, the church has changed over 12 months. So Thanksgiving will remain in here. Will remain in here every 3 months, whilst I'm here anyway. It will be a part of who we are. Because I want to have thankfulness in our hearts. I want us to have gratitude in our hearts. We're going to have a great meal together afterwards, and it's all free, and it's going to be amazing. The people have worked so hard on it, and we're trying to give our best. as a church, so we can enjoy one another's company, that we can enjoy today, that we can walk out of here feeling like we're full with spiritual food and natural food. And look, none of it's got any calories. It's all fat-free, gluten-free, dairy-free, flavour-free, peanut-free, banana-free for Ben, shellfish-free. It's just like air. It's just wonderful. And it's all free. So, you know, make sure everyone gets something though, yeah? Just share a little bit. Be kind. If there's only one sandwich, let's maybe cut it in half and give it half to someone else. Anyway, we'll see how we go. But at its core, biblical thanksgiving acknowledges God's character, acknowledging his provision and mercy. It serves as a reminder of God's overarching sovereignty and his continual presence in the lives of us believers. Thankfulness, I'm going to have trouble with words today, I reckon. Thankfulness is not reserved solely for moments of abundance, but is a call to recognize God's goodness even in trials. It aligns with 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18, where Paul writes, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing." And I want people to know that our prayer requests that you get put in don't just go into some box somewhere or the bin. They get carefully placed out on a Tuesday night, and each one of them get prayed for and prayed for. It's like we're going to keep praying without ceasing. We're going to believe with you about the prayers that you write down. You write them down. It's old school. We could do it electronically, but it's old school. You've got to get out a biro and put it on paper and write it down, and we will pray for it. We will present it before God. I have a faithful assistant in my prayer, in our prayer group, and Ruth, and she is faithful. I am sure that she prays for them during the week. Don't nod or do anything, just in case that's wrong. But I would imagine she prays for them during the week in her own prayer time, because she's a faithful prayer. And that's the sort of thing that we want to keep bringing into the life of the church. So we pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So you want to know the will of God? There it is there. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. This whole verse illustrates that thanksgiving is a sustained attitude and practice transcending or going above life's peaks and valleys and everything in between. We can't just live at the peaks, and we're not called to live just in the valleys. It's a journey or an adventure up and down either side, every mountain, every peak that will take your breath away. Who's ever climbed to the top of a really high peak? Notice my hand's not up. Anyway, I've flown over one before, or I've driven up one before. And when you drive up one, it's a lot easier. You should try it. And when you get out, it's barren. It's quite often barren at the top. And there's less air up there because you're so high up. So you can't physically sustain life at the top. But in the valley, we think there's such bad places. The valleys is full of nutrients. It's full of life. It's where everything is happening. And sometimes we just find that those valleys, I reckon they get given a bad rap, because I think valleys are wonderful. You don't sit in it. You pass through it, yeah? You just keep going up to the other side, and what you need to get to the top of the mountain, you find in the valley. It's so rich. It's so full of nutrients. It's so full of goodness. And you go from there, and you can climb to the highest peak, and you can have your breath taken away, and you can see things that you've never seen before. But how can you get to a top of a mountain if you've never been through a valley? In the Psalms, we see a rich tradition of thanksgiving woven into worship. In Psalm 100, verse 4, it says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name." Let's come to church like that, church. Let's come to church like that every single Sunday, every time we gather together. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. give thanks to him and bless his name. It highlights the communal aspect of thanksgiving, emphasizing entering into God's presence with a heart full of gratitude. I know there might be people feeling here this morning, well, you don't know what's in my heart. You are right. I don't know your situation, but I know who is the giver of hope. I know where your hope comes from. I know where your hope comes from because I've needed that as well. Because my heart, I've had some buffoon standing at the front saying to you, hey, don't worry about it. Give God all the praise and all the glory. And all I've wanted to do is to chuck things at him and say, hey, you don't know what I'm going through. Well, you know what? I know the giver of hope. So I encourage you, be steadfast. Even when our emotions and our heart doesn't want to sing out praise to him, push through with a sacrifice of praise. Push through, keep praising, keep lifting up the name of Jesus. What else are you going to do? Who else are you going to go to? What else are you going to go to? Temporary relief? Go for it. Go for it. Eternal relief? Sounds like a better deal to me. Sounds like a much better deal to me. In addition to that, Psalm 107 brings forth a powerful story of thankfulness through the recounting of Israel's deliverance from various trials. The repeated line is, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. It serves as a reminder that thanksgiving is often grounded in remembering God's faithfulness. You could get stuck here in a minute. So transitioning into the New Testament, thanksgiving continues to shine through in the teachings of and practices of Jesus and his apostles. Jesus himself modeled thanksgiving in pivotal moments, such as the Last Supper, when he took bread and blessed it and broke it, or when he fed the 5,000, giving thanks to God before distributing the loaves and the fish. These acts exemplify a deep understanding of dependence on God and recognition of his ongoing provision. When Abraham took Isaac to sacrifice him in Genesis, that's when God provided the ram in the thicket. That's when Jehovah was revealed as Jireh, as a provider. And he hasn't stopped providing. He revealed himself then and he hasn't stopped ever since. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. The Lord provides. We need to put our dependence. Where else would you put your dependence? In your bank account? Watch it go. In shares and stocks? Watch them fall. In Bitcoin? Watch it plummet. Watch it rise. A millionaire one day, broke the next. Where else are you going to put it? Into a person? Into a relationship? They come, they go, they break, they falter. Where else are you going to put your dependence? Put one that never fails. Put it into a person that will never let you down. See, there are many hurt people around the world that will blame God for situations. If you break down every single situation, the blame is not at God's feet. The blame is in our circumstances. The blame is in our decisions. The blame is in what we've taken on. The blame is what we won't let go. The blame is that we've stopped praising God. How can I say that with any conviction? Because I've lived through some of it and still live through some things. There are people here with stories that will make you cry, but yet they still praise God. Their dependence is still in Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. The Apostle Paul further emphasize gratitude as a vital aspect of the Christian life. In Colossians 3, he encourages us to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So the person who put that prayer request in this morning that is looking for peace, may you have the peace of God. But as you have that peace of God, and if you are a Christian, whoever put that prayer request in, just let me speak to you at the moment. for a moment. If you are a Christian, you have the peace. You have the peace of God. Now let it reign in your heart. Now lean not on your own understanding, but let the peace of God rule and reign in your heart. Let the peace of God reign in those decisions. You will know the peace of God deep down. So when you go to make that decision and you're looking for peace, you know, you just know. Because I believe that the Holy Spirit will be working within you and will give you the guidance necessary. If that doesn't happen, then either we're trying to block it ourselves or we just don't want to listen. Because it's overpowering in our lives. You just know, if we are honest with ourselves, we know the peace of God. We know whether the peace of God is on a situation or on a decision. It may not line up with our agenda. See, that's where it becomes a bit confusing. If we make decisions that maybe we don't have peace on, but because we want to make it about that, but really we know where the peace sits and maybe it's in a different answer or a different place. So maybe we need to go and just be honest with ourselves. And it's at that time when you're honest alone with God, that's when you can really understand the peace of God. Because there is so much noise around and there are so many things that we want to do. There's so many things. God, I need peace of God on this decision because I want to do that. But his peace lies somewhere else. Don't go with yours. Trust me on that. Don't go with yours. It's always messy. Go with the peace of God. Let it rule and reign in your heart. Let the Holy Spirit be the Spirit of God in your life. So I just want to encourage you with that. So the Hebrew word for thanksgiving, we've talked about this before, is, does anyone remember what it is? It's tada. Everyone say tada. Tada. That's it. Perfect. And as in all Hebrew words, every letter has a picture attached to it. So I just want to remind you again of what tada could look like. Tada could be seen, or thanksgiving could be seen as a declaration of thanksgiving that acknowledges a covenant relationship with God, recognizing the connection and access to his presence and revelation. It suggests that giving thanks is not just an act of gratitude, but a profound acknowledgement of God's role and presence in your life. It's basically a testimony of, or an acknowledgement of, the presence of God in your life. We've got to take it out of an emotion and put it out what God has placed in there. It is that covenantal relationship with you and your God, you and your Creator, you and your Savior. Is that okay? So the call to live in a state of thanksgiving is both personal and communal journey. One that invites us as believers to recognize every blessing, no matter how small or how large it is. Remember God's past mercies and respond with a heart full of gratitude as we engage. See, even little things. Now, I don't normally talk like this, but last night, okay. So Saturday, there was a hurricane that came through South Australia, wasn't it? And Friday, like, it was just like crazy. Like there was 450 mils of rain, I'm sure of it. But it was raining cats and dogs. I want to know where that saying comes from because I want to find those cats America. And dogs. Is it? Of course it is. Not from Dallas, though, because they wouldn't say so silly things like that. So it was pouring with rain. And then on Saturday, it was really windy. But as soon as Night of Hope's time came, from 5 o'clock, the wind died down. The sun came out. It was just the right temperature because if it got 2 degrees hotter in that stadium, we would have been like rotisserie chickens in there. But it was amazing. And then after we packed up at, you know, some hour, 9 o'clock or whatever it was, you jump in the car to come back down, it starts raining again. Like, I just look at that and I thought, God, that is just a small mercy. And look, I don't know. But I'm just giving God the praise for it. Because it could have been completely different. So, you know, so for all those that pray for car parks, yeah, okay, I just did a car park for you.
Come on.
Woo. I love being in car. Oh, God, give me a car park. Really? God, like, cure world hunger. Oh, no, but give me a car park first. Oh, I love us Christians. We are so fabulous. As we engage in Thanksgiving, we align ourselves with a broader story of redemption and grace. It reinforces the truth that it is God's enduring goodness that compels our thanks. It will compel your thankfulness. It will compel your gratitude. You can't but help be thankful. So if we have to speak this for the next 5 years before we just naturally give thanks, then we will do it. We will intentionally, because we're not always normally just positive people, yeah? We can say, oh, it's a great day today. Oh, have you seen the cloud over there? Have you seen the trees blowing? What do you mean a perfect day? You know, there's always something to complain about. But you know what? Let's change our ways. Let's change where we view. Change the way we see something. You know, when you look at somebody and you say, wow, you know, not so good. But then you look at them again with the right eyes and you say, man, you are such a wonderful person. You have got such a great heart. I had someone a couple of years ago. I thought it was really funny, but you might not find it funny. I sort of thought, I saw the humour in it. So it was after the service I preached, and they came up and they said, you're too fat to preach. I said, mate, I reckon you're right. I said, I can probably, if I really concentrated and worked hard, I can probably do something about it. But man, you're ugly, dude. You can't do nothing with that. So I just shook his hand and went on his way. I'm not sure why he's not in the church. So I just sort of go like this. If you're prepared to give us a fairly candid comment, I got a few in my back pocket. So it's not revenge. I just enjoy doing it. So I'm happy. So Bert, I'm on the ready for you, mate. So we love you, Bert. But you know, you're candid. That's good. Bert wasn't the one that said that either, by the way. No, don't say anything because that'll just take away from the moment. There are some things I just shouldn't have said, and that was one that I shouldn't have. Anyway, just give me a couple more minutes, but we are seasoned. This is our season part. So from natural season to spiritual readiness. So just as our natural world experiences our various seasons that we've been through this year, so too that we encounter spiritual season in our lives. Each natural season, I had a lot of people walking out today. I must be saying the wrong, some good things. They want food. Oh yeah, that's fair enough. I'll be out there in a minute, don't you worry. It teaches us essential lessons that prepare us for the spiritual challenges and blessings that we face. We all face them. Don't turn off about this because we all actually face them. So I want to share a couple of points about that. The value of preparation in each season. This is a really cool scripture. It's already up there, is it? Oh, darn it. Proverbs 6, verse 6 to 8. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Go to the ant, you lazy old coot. Consider it, its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. So in nature, every season has its purpose, as we've discussed all year. The ant, the little ant, the annoying little ant, teaches us the importance of preparation. If you ever studied ants, watch them. They're always busy doing something and carting food that's 14 times bigger than them, and they're trying to jam it down their ant hole, and it's all amazing if you watch them. Not that I sit there and watch ants very often, but it teaches us that importance to working diligently during the summer to provide for the winter. So when we observe the changing of the seasons, don't just think the natural seasons, but think about the seasons of your life now. So when you know that there's change, we see that winter calls for, it doesn't call for rest as much as it calls to go deeper. And every season has its has its theme or its moment that we need to understand. And Jesus says, understand the season you're in. Understand the season. Don't try just because your person next to you is in a harvest season and you're in an old cranky old season. Don't try and be that harvest. Go through your season and recognize that and understand and do your preparation in that. It'll see you through. Don't try and be anyone else. Don't try and do something that other people are doing. Do what you do. Do what God's got you to do. If God's taking you through something, then you concentrate on that and praise God that He's taking you through that season, because He will provide for you through that season. He will lead you and guide you. We have to start learning to trust in the God that dwells within us, the Holy Spirit of God that's within us. We have to start learning to put our dependence on that and not be codependent on other people. I can't give you all the answers. The person next to you can't give you all the answers. What we can do is we can say, be blessed. We will hold your hands up. We will walk alongside you. We will do what we can, but it is up to you. Pursue God. Prepare as you go through the different seasons. And I'll keep moving. I have more to say on that, but I'll keep moving. So growth through trials in every season. Romans 5 says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. There is a pattern in God's word. There is pattern in Scripture. Follow the pattern of God. Follow the pattern of Scripture. Understand that if we reject and get cranky with God about what we're going through, we will keep learning this lesson over and over again. He's not a God standing there with a stick, and He's not trying to beat you to do things. He wants to help us. He wants to give you strength in everything you do. He knows what this world is like. We know how difficult life can be. And we need to have the tools. Because I tell you what I'm sick of. I'm sick of seeing people quit the race. I'm sick of people getting knocked out of the race. I'm sick of seeing leaders fall on the leadership scrap heap of life. And I wonder why. There are many reasons why, but some of it is because we haven't learned to persevere. We haven't learned to go through long suffering. We haven't learned to go through things that we're not equipped to go through them. So they beat us and they sideline us. Sometimes it's just a comment from someone else. So the guy that said that to me, they could have sidelined me. Nobody knows, not one person here, I'm about to tell you, but no one normally would know the length of the journey from my seat to this place. No one knows what I have to go through, and you don't have to know, because it's my journey. It's what I have to do. You will have things in your life that you have to do. And we can stand there. I don't want to criticize them and knock you off. I just want to encourage you in them. We had to encourage and nurture the church in Kadena just to do last night. And we did that, and they're buzzing now, because now they can see that they minister to something which was three times the size of their congregation. That they ministered to, oh, my voice break. They ministered to, yeah, that got you looking, didn't it? Nathan's my gauge of pronunciation and noises that come out of me. Out of my mouth. Now I've lost the whole thing. So in the natural world, seasons of growth often arise from the harshness of winters or in the challenges of dry periods. As believers in God, we too learn through trials and difficulties that our own spiritual growth often emerges from discomfort. Who knows that if you've been through something which is of discomfort, that's where your big growth areas come from. It's not always in the harvest. It's in these moments that you emerge, from a dryness, that you emerge from a difficult or challenging time. I hear it all the time from people. Man, I learnt a lot from that. I don't hear people when everything's buzzing, oh, we learnt a lot from that. It's the tone is different. I've come out of this time and God has shown me so much. So God has helped me through. That's what I hear. And that's what we need to recognise. And that's when you recognise the growth that comes out of those times. My last point is God's faithfulness in every season of life. It's a faithful scripture. It's a faithful verse. There is a time for everything. There is a time for everything in our lives and a season for every activity under heavens. We are going to go through every single season. You can't live in one season all the time. You will go through every season. And in that season, there will be thankfulness. In that season, there will be gratitude. In that season, there will be growth. In that season, there will be challenges. In that season, there will be built things in your life that you couldn't buy from anybody. You get from the throne of grace. It's in those seasons that you become strong, that your faith gets built up. See, and if you're not at that stage with faith right now, and I said it last night, but hope, if you can just have a hope, because and that's Jesus. If you can just have hope, that is the seedbed of faith. Faith will grow if you just but have hope. And trust me with this, there is hope in Jesus. There is hope. Hope is available to each and every one of us. And out of that hope, faith will grow. Faith can grow. So as we navigate the various seasons of our lives, we come to recognize the consistency of God's faithfulness through it all. That verse that I just read out reminds us that there is a divinely ordained purpose for each phase or each area that we encounter. Each season provides opportunities for us to experience God in so many different ways. If we, don't box God through your filters. Our God is indescribable. I think it's in Thessalonians it talks about that we are stewards of God's grace. And that means that we are, it talks about the manifold of God's grace. And broken down even further, that means the various colours of God. God is not just the one colour that you have painted him in. God is all colours. And is so broad and is so big and is indescribable. So let's not box God. Let's understand that God can show us and be and help us through every single situation. We can see the various colours of God's grace in your life, no matter what you go through. Let's lift our eyes. Let's get rid of our own concepts and start looking to the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ, where our hope comes from. When we grasp that God is sovereign over the seasons of our lives, see, we have to learn to trust God. I implore you to do this is to learn to trust God. If I could make you, I would, because once we start getting that trust in God and understand that He is sovereign in our lives, your world changes. It's less of you and more of Him. It's more directed. It's more purposed. You won't be asking questions. What do I do? How do I do things? Who am I? God will reveal those to you. And there's nothing wrong with those questions. I wasn't trying to pay them out. But it comes because we've got to learn to put our full trust. Let me have a show of hands in here and out the back. Who's given their lives to Jesus and how you understand that? Hands everywhere, yeah? So if we say that again, and even to the ones out the back, I'm sure your hands are raised out there. You have given your life to Jesus. So trust in him. So trust in the person that you've given your life to. our sovereign God, the creator of heavens and earth. Can he get you through a bad season? Oh, heck he can. Can he guide you through a good season? My oath he can. Can he be there for you every step of the way? Absolutely he can. So why do we take our life back and then give it back to him when we're okay again? When you're not okay, keep giving him your life. When you're okay, still let him have your life. Let him rule and reign. Let him have sovereignty in our lives. The guys can come up now. We've got some Thanksgiving lunch to share. We find security and hope whether we are in a season of joy, grief, growth, or challenge. We can rely on his unchanging nature. God equips us to handle every circumstance that we face, reminding us that we are not alone. His presence sustains us, gives us strength, and assures us of his unyielding love. They're not just words put on paper. That is describing your God, the one that you've given your life to, the one that you're trying to understand, the one that you're considering to follow. It's that God. That's the God I'm talking about. So the lessons learned from both natural and spiritual seasons, we can embrace the remarkable truth that our God has equipped us to face whatever comes our way. Just as we prepare and grow through the changing seasons of life, we are seasoned for the spiritual journey ahead. So let us confidently step forward. We can stand, but it's the stepping forward. See, in the upper room, they all stood, but one stepped forward. Peter. Clumsy old Peter. I love him. Because everyone stood, but Peter stepped out. Call me to come, and I'll come. I'll get out of the boat. I'd like to have a boat, but if you gave me a boat, I could step out. Pray without ceasing. Desires of my heart. Using it for spiritual guidance and learning your word. Sorry. That prayer's been said a few times. Ready to confront new challenges and embrace fresh opportunities. Knowing that our experiences have made us resilient. May we trust in God's faithfulness, holding on to the promise that whatever season we find ourselves in, we are more than able to persevere and thrive through our God and grow as we go. So that's the end of our seasons year. I hope there's been something out of this year that you have put in your heart. I hope that you feel, even if you don't feel it, but you know it's inside, that you can face every season of your life. That you know that there's something you can do about it. There's someone you can go to. An unyielding God that is your Jehovah Jireh, that is your provider, not just to your wants, but what he knows you need to get through every single situation we face. So seasons just doesn't finish, yeah? Our themes don't just finish, they just keep building in the church. They just keep being in our culture. So I never want any theme that we feel God share with us for the year just to say, oh yeah, we did that in 2000 and whatever year we're in, 25. No, it's about what the change it does within us. It's about the revelation from his word. So we go on to a new one next week. And it's filled, for me, it's filled with excitement. It's rubber hitting the road time. But I know we're seasoned to do it. I know you're seasoned to embrace everything that God has for you. God bless you, and may God keep you. May He shine upon you. May He be in everything that you do. And if you want any prayer this morning, I'm just going to be here. Just come and ask me for prayer, whatever it is. If there's something you're going through that you maybe don't feel equipped to, I want to be able to pray and show you that God is with you in this. So let's stand to our feet. We're going to have a wonderful lunch. Please hang around and share it with us. So God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message this week.